Okay, so now that we have played our activities and everything, I want you to go home with something to remind you to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. So, you have a little baggie there. I want you to take out the two little pieces of paper and the little child. And this is going to be just a very simple, quick little craft that you're going to put together. We're going to make a refrigerator magnet. What you're going to do is you're going to take your scripture and you're going to stick the edges in all the way around the little slot so that it looks like this. You might have to bend it back a little bit, but it will fit in like this. Okay, and then you're going to take your little child, who is so happy because he's just been at Sunday school, and on the back you're going to peel off the little piece of tape. And these are great preschool crafts because there's no glue. And you're going to stick them on the top up there.
That's cool.
Then you're going to take your magnet square, and you're going to peel it off, and you're going to put it on the back. And you can put it on your refrigerator, and it will remind you of the memory verse that we had today for class. Good job.
All right. Now we'll do memorizing games and activities for memorizing scripture. So again, you're going to be the students today. And at this point, we're going to be kindergarten through sixth grade students. If you look on your handouts, I wanted to start with, when I took a children's ministry training course, I remember learning the statistic that you remember, and I'm sure most of you have heard this one, you remember 10% of what you hear, 50% of what you hear and see, and 90% of what you hear, see, and do. And that's what helps. What we try and do in our classroom is use the games as a support for our study. So every game that we play to memorize a memory verse or just to review the Bible study is focused at reinforcing our Bible study. And so by the time they've heard the story and they've seen some pictures and then they actually get up and participate in the game, it really gives them a lot more ability of remembering what they have learned that day. A lot of these games, you'll see the Lord will use them in giving you your own ideas. And the Holy Spirit will just lead you in how you can adjust these ideas around to fit your particular study for what you're doing with the children. So we're going to start with the balloon pop game. And we've been playing this for, I don't know, many, many years, over 10, maybe 15 years now. And it's been so much fun, and the kids never get tired of it. So what we do is we put the one word of the memory verse on each balloon, and I tape them up there before we actually start playing. I use the clear packing tape to stick them up. We use it on our whiteboard. You could stick it up on the wall if you have to, but all of the classrooms at our church do have the whiteboards in there, and it works real well. So this helps keep them up there. One Sunday, I did run out of this, so I had to ad-lib, and I did try scotch tape, and that didn't work. Well, okay, it worked for about 10 minutes. So we had the balloons all up there, and in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden, the balloons start falling off, and the kids really enjoyed it, but it sort of distracted the whole purpose. And masking tape doesn't work. It worked for a few minutes also. So the packing tape works really great. Another tool you might find handy. When we first started doing this, my husband and I, we would blow up the balloons the old-fashioned way. And then we found this little tool, a nice little balloon pump that you can buy at toy stores or craft supply stores, and they're under $10, and it's really very helpful. So that's a nice little thing to have. So let's go ahead, and we will say the verse together, and... Ready? Begin.
He will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Psalm 147:3.
Right. Now we're going to take, we have a pushpin, and I found these pushpins that are large pushpins at the store, so I was very excited about that. So what I would like is for a volunteer. Now, in the children's ministry classes, we played this game, I would say, kindergarten through second grade, third grade even, and they all love it. We have never had any children that, well, once or twice in all the years that we've had kids that were just afraid to pop a balloon. But one of our other teachers, what he did for the kindergarten age is he taped a pushpin to the end of the yardstick so they didn't have to get close to the balloon and they could still pop it. But we haven't had too much problem with that, but maybe with the little ones. So would I find a volunteer who would like to come up and pop it? Anyone? Okay, come on up.
Yes.
Good. Okay, what word did he pop?
Wound.
And I always try to reinforce what word just popped. And if, this is good because this one just about fell off. If the balloon, the piece, what's left of the balloon falls off, I put it back up. I just kind of stick it back up there so they have a focal point. Because it helps if you are learning the verse, at least you can remember when all the words are gone, at least you can remember where the words are, and it just helps prompt you to remember what the word is. So, what was this word again?
Wounds.
Okay, very good. All right. And then let's say the verse one more time. Ready? And I'm going to be listening to see if you guys remember what this word is. Ready? Begin.
He will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Psalm 147:3.
Very good. Now, when we're doing with the kids, a lot of times we have all different level readers. So I try and point to the balloons in that case, because if we started the verse and most of the class is about here, but those super speedy readers are all down here and then it's all jumbled, and so I say, okay, say the word I'm pointing to. Let's see, would anyone like to pop another word or number? All right, good, come on up. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that too.
Both of them or just one?
Just one. You get to pop one balloon. Oh, did you hear that pop? And the reason why, and then I actually pull that one off. If it's a punctuation, I pull it off. And let me tell you why. Good job. The reason why I put that up there is to remind me to tell you, let's say you had 20 children in your class and you had 19 words and 19 balloons on the board. So you can stretch out a couple of extra turns by putting quotation marks or the colon on a separate balloon or a period or a comma. So if you just need to add two or three extra turns so that everyone gets a turn, because I don't want them to be left out. If it's 19 children and 18 get a turn and one goes home and says, I was the only one that didn't get a turn today, it feels like you're singling them out and that, you know, they're going to go home not feeling too good. If you have 30 kids and 15 balloons, then it's okay. It's not so personal. And then, you know, we'll play this game again. And don't worry, you know, everyone will eventually get a turn. So, but if it's just one or two that aren't going to get a turn, I try and make an extra turn by putting a little extra punctuation mark. Or Wayne, my husband, he's artistic, so he'll draw a picture that represents a story on a balloon or whatever. So you can just kind of get creative like that so that there just isn't one going home without a turn. All right, so we popped another balloon, and then we would say the verse again, and so on and so forth. Let's pretend that, we are running out of time, and this is taking a little longer. So what you can do is, to speed the game up a little bit, let's take two turns. Do I have two volunteers who'd like to come up and pop a balloon? So, there's one there. Who else? Okay, come on up. And you can take two or three children at a time, come up and take turns at popping the balloons. All right. There you go.
joy.
What word was that?
My goodness.
And. What was it?
And
then, when you're taking, and you'll obviously figure this out, but I try to be careful when there's a line of children taking a turn that they give me the pushpin back and I hand it to the next child. I don't want them handing it to each other because sometimes they're not too careful.
You too.
So to pop one balloon right now. Anyone want? Ooh, right. What was that he popped?
147.
When they pop a number, I try to make a big deal out of it. It's like, oh no, the number. I have such a hard time remembering number. That's the hardest thing to remember because it doesn't have anything to do with the verse. You guys aren't going to remember that, are you? Are you going to remember the number? And of course, they're coming back. Yeah, we're going to remember the number. So make a big deal about the number. When they pop the first word, I always say, oh no, you popped the first word. I can never remember the first word. And most of the time, I really can't remember the first word, so they have to help me. So I make a big deal. What was the first word again? Everybody? Oh, wow, I thought you couldn't remember. Okay, and then we say the verse together. So let's go ahead and say it one more time, and we'll move on to the next theme. Ready? Begin.
He will heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. Psalm 147:3.
Very good. You did great. So there you can see that by the time we've gotten through the verse, we have said it 15 to 20 times if you go each balloon at a time. If time allows in your classroom, and it probably depends at Calvary Costa Mesa, it depends if it's a Sunday morning service or if it's an evening service, how much class time we have. Sunday morning, we don't have quite as much time. On the evening services, we would have a little extra time, so I would have the balloons out, and I would have the children help me put the balloons up on the board. And then as we're going, I'd say, can you find the word he and give it to me? And then we'll put it up together. And then we'll build the verse. Then we'll pop it. And then it's even more reinforcement of the memory verse. So let's go on to the next one on our handout, which is the stuffed animal name right over here. And it's basically the same as the balloon. You can just use this for all kinds of different ideas. And if you have a regular group of kids coming in your class, you can ask them to bring their own stuffed animals. So we're going to play a game, a reverse game next week with stuffed animals. If you'd like to bring one of your stuffed animals, we could use it for the game. And they like that a lot. Or we can, I always make sure I have enough stuffed animals because they often won't remember. So each stuffed animal will have one word of the memory verse on it. We'll say the verse just like we did with the balloon game, and then you have options, and you just will have to judge your class personality because each class has its own personality. Some classes I have been able to say, okay, instead of popping a balloon, which stuffed animal would you like to take to your desk? And they're, you know, a class that I know I can trust them to do that. So they'll pick which stuffed animal they want, they'll take it to their desk and let it sit on their desk until all the stuffed animals are gone and we're ready to bring it back. And each time we say the verse. So we say the verse, they pick another one, we say the verse, they pick another stuffed animal until they're all gone. Then we put the verse back in order, which is a very good test for them. And we help each other out, putting the verse back in order. And sometimes with the real little kindergartners, first graders, I would say, who has the word for? Can you bring it back up? And then they won't have to really guess what order it goes in, but it'll help them along. So that works out a lot of fun. Another version of this one, then if you have a class that you know isn't going to be able to handle that, perhaps the stuffed animals would be, you know, flying around the classroom or doing other things, then I would just have them turn it around. Or if it's on a shelf or a table, then let's put this stuffed animal on the floor and now you can go back to your seat. So just, you can judge your class what you think that they can handle. You can do this on all kinds of different things. If you can put canned goods, have them bring canned goods in and put the words on canned goods and then donate to your church kitchen for the poor, or whatever, you know, the Lord leads you in. Let's see, surprise box. Now, Marlene, if you can hand me that red box. Thank you. Now, this we call our surprise box. Now, I've just taken a box
and I've cut, we got the box with the lid attached, but it can be any box you want. And we cut a hole big enough in it that your hand can go in and out of. And then the memory verse words are written on pieces of construction paper. It can just be plain pieces of construction paper. Let's see, what have I got in here for samples? On special occasions, special stories, we would make shapes and put the memory verse words on a shape that matches our study. But normally what we do is just put the words on a plain old piece of construction paper and then just stand it up in the chalk tray or on a table across the front of the classroom. So all the memory verse words are going across. And they come up and they pick one of the words. Instead of popping a balloon, they would take a word and drop it into the box. So when all the words are gone here, they're all in the box. And then afterwards they come back and we reconstruct the verse again back in order. Again, to stretch turns for that, if there's just one or two that don't have a turn, you can draw a picture of something relating to the story or put extra punctuation marks on the verse on the construction paper. There's another smaller box over there, the blue one.
Yeah.
The stripe, sorry. This is just another version of it, just a smaller box for a different class that we had, and just as long as it's big enough to get your hand in and out, put the words in and out, and that way you can go ahead and just line the words up and they can play just like the balloon game. Thank you. Now, Irma Turn on the next page is probably one of the games we do the most. We just write the verse on the whiteboard, and instead of popping a balloon, we would erase. Depending on the age of your children in your class, for the lower grades, I would ask them, okay, who wants to pick a word for me to erase? So let's play this game a little bit, because we're going to use this for a number of games. Let's say this verse together. Can everyone see this over there? All right. Ready? Begin.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 98:1.
And let me just interrupt for just a moment. This is on a very handy tool that we found from Child Evangelism Fellowship. This side is a whiteboard, and this side is a Velcro board. What Merlene was talking about in the preschool activity class. It's made out of auto headliner fabric, but this one was all made up for us, and so it serves both purposes, and it comes in very handy. And they also have these handy little easels. Very nice, very compact, easy to transport if you're traveling to different classes, or, you know, just very helpful to have. So I thought I'd just share that one with you. So we have said the verse. Now let's pick a word or number to erase. Who would like to raise their hand and just pick a number for me to erase? Or a word? Yes.
Sing.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to erase sing. So I would erase it for the younger grades. I would erase it for them. And then I draw a line where the word is to give them a focal point. All right. For the older grades, then they could come up and erase it. They might not even need the line on there, so they could just erase the word. So we would say the verse again. Ready? Begin.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 98:1.
Okay, very good. What other word or number would someone like to choose to erase? Do I see a hand? You don't even have to come up and, yes.
Done.
Done. Oh, very good. Line there, and then you just go on until all the words are gone. Now just imagine all the words are gone. All that's left here are the lines, okay? And a funny little piece of information, all the years we've been doing this game, every single year, we'll get to where there's just lines and punctuation marks on there. And every year the kids want to erase the lines, and then they want to raise the punctuation. But I say, oh, no, well, at the first grade level and second grade, well, let's not erase the lines because it'll be too hard. Well, can we erase the dots and commas? It's like, I don't know. It might, you wouldn't know. Then you think that's 981 instead of 98.1, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be too confusing? And I challenge them, and they say, oh, no, that we could do it. So I have them do it really well. If they say the verse perfectly together, then we erase the dots and commas. And every year, that has been such a treat for them. And I don't know why. But every single class, they just really like to erase the dots and commas. But at this point, all we have now are lines left. So now you can just do all kinds of different games. We are going to do our memory jet game now. Did any of you, if you made a paper airplane in the class today, can you hold it up? So I gave you a blank piece of paper at the beginning of class, and you could make your own paper airplane if you wanted to. And in our classroom, okay, good, now you can put them down for just a minute. The way this started was, my husband Wayne and I were teaching first grade, I don't know, over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and every week, guess what happened to our Sunday school papers? They turned into paper airplanes. So we thought, well, let's do something useful with these. So we started out having paper airplane games, and they don't get to throw their paper airplane in our memory verse game unless the memory verse is written on their paper airplane. Now, some of them, it's really hard for them to do the writing. And so in that case, I say, well, can you at least write the reference of the verse? And usually they'll do that. And if that's too much, then I'll write it on there for them. Just so, because I don't really want a paper airplane going home without something on it showing the parents that, you know, this really did represent something constructive in class. So we do like to have a memory verse on there. And then they can color and decorate it and get it all ready. And we really don't have a problem, say, now you need your paper airplanes, because please keep them at the top of your desk until game time. And they do. And even the active ones are able to do that. So they keep their paper airplane on their desk, and we do our class time, our worship, our prayer, our study, and we usually do the game time at the end of our class time, but however the Lord leads you. But for us, that's what works best for us. So we've had our study, and we've learned the verse on the whiteboard. Now, to earn a turn at throwing your paper airplane through our target. Now, speaking of the target, we just took a box, cut a hole in it, covered it with paper, real easy. You don't even have to do that. You can just draw a target on the whiteboard and they can throw it at that. You can just, you know, and one of the other teachers there, he made a box like this, and then he hooked it in, you know, like at open houses, and how they have little paper clips and fish string, and so he hung it from the ceiling. So it's suspended. It's really cool. But you can, so we have a target box, but that's okay. So I'm going to ask someone to come up who can earn a turn by saying our memory verse. So who would like to say the verse to earn a turn to throw your paper airplane through our target? Any volunteers? Yes, okay.
Is that one?
Yeah, that one right there.
All right. I'll sing the Lord a new song for... I'm looking at it. He has done marvelous things on
98.1. Now, you can just throw from there and.
You can do it, Jeremy.
Here goes. The moment of truth. And it's a lot harder than you think. Now, if their airplane, oh, and I do tell them to put their names on their airplanes, too. If their airplane touches the outside of the box, they get points. They get five. Oh, the very most important points they earn 1,000 points for saying the verse. I give them the most points for saying the verse. So they get, like, 500 if the airplane touches it, and another 1,000 if it goes through the metal. So they can earn a lot of points. You can make up your own point system. So that's... a lot of fun. Anyone else want to try? Mm-hmm. Need a good airplane? Oh, good. All right. You want to say the verse for us?
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 91.
All right, good. So you can fly it from there or get up. Oh, woo! I always tell them they don't get extra points for doing a teacher in the
house. That's a normal thing.
Take out the teacher.
Actually, maybe he gets minus points.
I'm so sorry.
We'll have to collect this after the class. See, that happens, and it's fun. So you get that, and it's just a lot of fun. Now, for the younger ones, or if we're pressed for time in our class, what we have done, and a lot of the kids will just make paper airplanes for each other, but some of the children don't know how to make paper airplanes, so I'll have a supply on hand already made up, and then all they have to do is write on it or color it. Also, you can fold a paper airplane, figure out where the verse needs to go on it, write it on there, unfold it, and photocopy it, and then refold it, and you've got them all made for your whole class. If you're really pressed for time, or when we were doing for five-year-olds and they couldn't write. So I would have the airplanes all made with the verse on it and everything. And they had a wonderful time with that. All right, so let's do the musical memory verse walking. And we're going to use... You could use a ball or a beanbag, and I'm going to play some music. We're going to pass the ball around. Actually, I think I'll use the beanbag. We'll pass the beanbag around, and when the music stops, whoever's holding the beanbag gets to do one of two things. You can either say the verse, or you can choose someone to say the verse for you. So this is the verse we're going to use, and let me get the music ready. We do have one rule, especially if we use the ball. No throwing the ball. So just pass it nicely to your neighbor, okay? There
we go. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For we do not.
Okay, would you like to say the verse, or would you like to choose someone to say the verse for you?
Choose someone to say the verse.
Okay, raise your hand if you'd like to say the verse. And, of course, in the Sunday school classroom, everybody's raising their hand. So, do we have any brave souls? And then if we don't, I can talk someone into, would you like to say the verse with me? Or let's all help him say the verse together. So why don't we do that? Let's all say the verse together. Ready? Begin.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 98:1.
Okay, good. Let's keep going.
Preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, in ourselves on service.
And you can toss it across the
I don't want to get stuck with it.
You want to toss it this time. Now, who's going to clean that? Okay. Would you like to say the verse?
Sure.
Oh. Wonderful.
And we always clap. But we do not teach ourselves, Christ Jesus the Lord.
Okay, good. Would you like to say the verse or choose someone?
Yes, I would. Okay. Oh, sing to the Lord in your song, for he has done marvelous things.
Very good. Now, they have a real good time, and I want to mention to you, for the lower grades, what we do is exactly what I was doing here. You know, in musical chairs, the person controlling the music isn't normally looking at the group. It's supposed to be random. But for this age level, they have never, ever in these years questioned it. So we do that. Wayne will control the music, and he will stop the music on the child. Now, you can tell which child really wants to take the first turns, because if you can pick those bold children who are just dying to say the verse, and they'll say it the first few times, and then the other kids gain more confidence, and they're more comfortable saying the verse themselves. So if they're passing the beanbag like this, you know, and they're holding it a real long time before they get to the next child, you know, they're wanting a turn. But if they're going like this, you know, he doesn't stop on it. So he'll pick the ones who are like, you know, waiting for that music to stop. And then they'll say the verse, and they'll, you know, show how much fun it is, and then the other kids really want to do it. We had, years ago, we had sweet little girl who was so, so shy. And she never took a turn. And I think, oh, after a few times through of this game, then she started saying the verse, and then she started paying. I mean, she was in her class for a few months, and then all of a sudden, she gained enough confidence, and she just started taking turns, and it was just so cute to see the transformation of her. So anyway, we just watched, and that way we can also judge that everyone gets a turn. So we can control it. Everybody gets to have a turn who wants a turn. They don't have to feel pressured that they have to say it out loud. I always give them the option of being able to have a turn without having to say the verse or without having to speak out loud in front of the class, because that can be pretty traumatic for some kids. If they feel pressured to speak in front of the class, maybe they won't want to come back. So I give them the option, and if they really don't want to play, they can watch, and usually they'll want to jump in pretty soon on that. Also, the next one down is beanbag toss. And I really like to do this, if there's room in the classroom, to have them sit in a circle on the floor. But that's not always possible, depending on how the classrooms are arranged. So we'll just stay right like we are. And what we'll do is, whoever gets the beanbag says the next word of the verse. So the first person says, oh, and whoever they throw it to will say, sing. They'll throw it to someone, to the Lord, until we get through the whole verse. Okay, are you guys ready? Because this will be a challenge. I think you can do it. Okay, I'll start it. Oh.
8, 0, 4, E.
John.
Marvelous.
Thing. Throw it anywhere.
Psalm.
98.
1. All right,
good.
Shut up, Jeremy.
Okay, good. And then they can just kind of randomly throw it across the room after they get. I do go in order in a circle at first until they get the hang of it, and then we just randomly toss it back and forth. And if you want, you could use the beach ball. If you're talking about missions, you can use the one with the globe on it and incorporate that in with your missionary in reverse. So we will now do a game that I think you guys will like.
If we could get that in the box.
This is almost like the beanbag game, except for we're going to pass this box around. And whoever holds the box says each word of the memory verse. So we'll say, oh, sing to the Lord, pass it around, and whoever ends up with it, when we get to the end, after whoever's won, it's all 98, one, you'll get to open the box and take something home. Okay? So, let's hear you loud and clear.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song for He
has.
Thank you.
Done.
Sorry.
Marvelous.
Thanks.
And inside we have some little treats. And I also, now we'll save that for after class. I also have stickers in here and little prizes in case they're not allowed to have candy. I try to have an option. So that was a lot of fun. And they'll start figuring out. And if we're in a circle on the floor, once they've won, then they go back to their seats and we continue on until everyone has received a candy. Or if we're out of time, then we'll just go ahead and say, okay, good game, and we'll all go back to our seats. And now we'll pass it around, and if you didn't get candy, go ahead and take it. And you all may go ahead and take this candy out of it. Or a sticker. So that's our candy sticker surprise game. Now, I just want to show you our jigsaw puzzles real quick. The first jigsaw puzzle I did was this one. Way too hard, too tiny. And so what I do is I get it all made, I write the verse on there, and I draw the puzzle line, and then I cut out the pieces and put it in the baggies, because we're Sunday morning, we don't have time to cut it out. But the upper grades, if you are in a setting where you have enough time, they could write the verse themselves, they could cut it out, or you know, whatever you need to work out. But so I would have the pieces in a baggie ready for them and show them what it would look like. So after I did this one, and I just took a scroll paper, drew the puzzle lines on and so forth, then I did one for the Ten Commandments. I did one version for the real little ones with bigger pieces, and then another version for elementary grades, maybe third and up. And they would each get their little baggie, and we would practice saying the verse, or even leave the verse written on the whiteboard, and they would take their pieces, and you kind of do it what we normally do, and there's probably 100 variations of this, but what we normally do is we act like a sword drill. So I give them their pieces, they put them out on their desk, and on your mark, get set, go. And the first one who gets their puzzle together stands up and says the verse out loud. So it's just a little race for them. Okay? And then, oh, the straw relay. This is definitely for the upper grades. If you divide them up into teams, each team would get a set of in reverse words on little pieces of paper like this. And they would have a table here and a table here. And they need to get their words from this side across the room to that side and the little table over there. And the way they do that is with a little piece of straw. So you cut a drinking straw into little sections, one for each. And what they need to do is pick the word up with their straw, like this. Okay? And then they go all the way across. And the first team, and you can't be too far, okay? That's impossible. But the first team to get all their words over there in order wins. So they have a good time with that. I did not bring the Paul in prison earthquake blocks that's on the handout, but it's really fun. If you're using the picture, you can make a coloring picture, just enlarge it. It's a little tricky to make, but the masters, if you just want to use the Paul in prison earthquake game that's here in the handout, the masters are on the CD that you'll be getting, so you can just reproduce that, and then you just cut the pieces to fit on the foam blocks, cover them with foil, and put the little pieces of pictures on there. Then they build the blocks into the coloring picture, and then the children get to make an earthquake, knock them down, and rebuild them back up. So it's a lot of fun. Or you can just put the words on the blocks, which is the easiest way for the upper grades. The next page is, where's the Bible person? A lot that you guys have already covered in the preschool activities, but they're good also for up through second and third grade. So we have used these a lot over and over and over. And so I just would encourage you also to use it for these elementary school ages as well. But so we're going to skip over to our hopscotch. And Miss Marlene is going to hold up. I have just made a sample on a piece of carpet that we had, just a normal hopscotch with a word in each square, okay? And so that's good. Just so you guys can see. In our classroom, we just tape it with masking tape right on the carpeting. And the kids like that. When they're coming into the class and I'm setting up, putting the tape down on the floor, they get excited. And it's like, what are you doing? What are we going to do today? And the first year I did this, we had a lot of boys in our class, and I tried to pick a Sunday when there weren't so many boys. I thought, well, when there's mostly girls here, we'll do this game. And the boys enjoyed it so much, so we just do it all the time now, and boys and girls both like this game. What I have them do for our class is the hopscotch is on the floor. We have a pretty big class, so I have the class divide up and stand on each side of the hopscotch. We say the verse together, thy word have I hid in my heart. Then I pick a child who can jump through the hopscotch nice and slowly, so we can say it while they jump. So, can you jump with both feet the first time? So I'm going to jump through the hopscotch, and I won't make anyone do this to me. We jump through the hopscotch, we say the verse together very slowly, maybe two or three times, until they're familiar with it. Then we just take turns, and they jump through the hopscotch, saying the verse by themselves as they jump through. So, let's see. Memory match games, you have seen those. Lots of fun. One little addition on the memory match games, I'll say, oh, and if you have whiteboards, you can do a lot of the match games on the whiteboard with magnets, because a lot of whiteboards are magnetic, so you can just use magnet pieces. What I found when I'm making my match games and my Where's the Bible Person games is, at first, I was just putting the Velcro or the magnet at the top of the piece, and then what happened was with the older, or then the younger children, is that it would start, you know, once it's been handled, it would start curving out. And so it's here on the board, and it's kind of curling out. And if you kind of get an angle, you can see behind it, right? So what happens is, you know, the kids are coming up to take their turns, and they're peeking behind it, which I don't care. That's okay. Except for, guess who does care? All the other kids in the class care. And then, so it's becoming a distraction. So then I started putting a piece at the top and the bottom so that it did help a lot, so that they can't quite peek as easily, although they still try, because it's pretty irresistible. Sometimes I have to peek when they can't find it, too. So it's a lot of fun. Oh, I'm going to save the red light, green light, yellow light game for last. We'll come back to that. Time fillers and sign-out time. We use our games a lot. Even if we haven't done a memory verse game, we'll just kind of take extra turns, or, you know, just bring a game in to take turns during sign-out. It helps a lot if you're doing an activity in class when the parents are coming and signing out. It has helped us maintain control of the sign-out time, because it kind of prevents the little siblings from coming into the class and the parents from coming into the class. They see you're doing something, and it really helps you control that, because if you get all these children coming into your class, and it's hard to notice, you know, who's going and coming and who belongs where. So we're usually taking extra turns at the memory verse game we've had, or there's some target games over here. So if we did an earn the turn, they could also take, like we took turns at our paper airplane game, they can take turns at our target game, they can take turns at basketball, hoops, whatever kind of little game that they can earn a turn at would work. So that little Target, I just bought those things on sale at Target, I mean at the toy store. You can just, it turns on, it cheers. When the ball hits it, it cheers for them. So the button's on the front side of it. But any little thing that you can find for them to take turns at after they've, you know, when they're being signed up, we usually tell them, if you're in your seat, when your parent is signing up, then you get one more turn at our game. And that really helps to keep that, because it's that downtime when you're not teaching and you don't have an activity going, and then all of a sudden the kids are all over the place. So this way they are encouraged to stay in their seats so that they can get one final turn at the game. Another thing that we can do is build a church or build a temple, or just put parts of the story up on the board. So we play it like Hangman, and we would put a word from our study up here, and they would guess a letter. And if they guess a letter right, then they get to build part of the church. So maybe they build a wall, and then the next one would build maybe the floor, and then another wall, and then until they build a church, and you can add whatever parts. Now, my husband, when we get to that far, I have to start over, because that's the extent of my artistic ability, and you can see how good that is, right? So, but my husband, he'll keep going, so we'll do the next word, and then he'll draw whatever they want at the church, the playground, the parking lot. Pastor Chuck. So Pastor Chuck has the Bible in his hand, and so we do all these things that he'll just keep going with this. But that is a really nice time filler, just kind of at the end when you're not quite all signed out yet, and the kids are getting a little rowdy, so it works out pretty well. A lot of times when we do these classes, people ask me, how long do you spend on your game time? We spend about 25 minutes on our game time, but it's reinforcing our study. And as we're doing the memory verse, we'll, you know, it just kind of relate, well, what does that, how does that relate to our story? Or what does this word mean? And we'll kind of bring back in part of our Bible study as we play the memory verse game as well. So we take about 25 minutes at the end of the class. I like to do it at the end of class myself because it's something that's easily controlled. The service is out early. You can cut it short. You can stretch it out, whatever you need to do, and it's very controllable. You can, if all of a sudden you see parents coming and you're only partway through the game, and you can start taking turns of groups of five or six. They say the verse together, and then they all take turns. So you can kind of control the speed of the game, and it's a pretty good activity for the end of class time. I think we discussed the turns. If the child doesn't want to take a turn, we just let them watch until they're ready. Prizes and points. It's totally up to you. Sometimes we give prizes. Sometimes we give points. Most of the time, we don't really do prizes or points. And the kids just have fun playing the game. So whatever the Lord leads you to do is totally appropriate. If you have game pieces that are like the match games and those type of things, they're constantly handled, and it's probably best to laminate them, but maybe you don't have access to a laminating machine. You can buy the clear contact paper and just cover both sides with the clear shelf contact paper that you can get at the hardware store, and that works real well as well. On the last page, we have, it's just a list of the game patterns and masters that are available on the CD. Even on the CD, I think there's a few extras that are even on this list. One of them over there is the, it's kind of like the pin the tail on the donkey, and it's called The House on Straight Street, it's hard to say, and each child gets a little picture of Paul. And remember, Paul went to the house on Straight Street, the house of Judas. And so they can try, and if depending on their age, you can blindfold them, or they can just close their eyes, and then they can try and get how which house, whoever gets the closest to the house of Judas, is the winner. And you put the child's name on each little picture. So the master for that is on there, and there's a lot of masters on the CD for you. Does anyone have any questions? We covered a lot. Okay. We'll just do one final game. And this is a game that I had so much fun learning this. Gracie, as a matter of fact, taught the seminar class down in Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, a number of years ago. And it's the red light, green light, yellow light. So, now, you're going to tell me, when you see a green light, what does that mean?
Oh.
When you see a yellow light?
Go faster.
Yeah, I always hear that. Not go faster. Go slow. Let's try to remember that. Okay. And when you see the red light, we stop. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is everyone is going to get a paper plate. So if you can just pass out some paper plates across the way there, you could grab this. Now everyone gets to participate in this game. So, not yet. But when I say green light, we'll all stand up, and your paper plate will be your steering wheel. Okay? And we're going to drive your little car. Okay. This is for kindergarten or under, but they have a
Jeremy,
really good time. Okay? So they're going to drive their cars, and you can make the little car noises. No speeding, okay? And then when we say red light, we're going to stop right where we are, and we're going to say our memory verse, which will be the one, Psalm 98:1. Okay, everybody stand up. Green light, go. Good job.
guys are walking around the room right now, and maybe there's one or two running, so I'll say, oh, and then we'll go yellow light. Slow. How slow? Can you not even know what's real slow? Red light, stop. Good. Oh, sing to the Lord and say with me,
for he has done marvelous things. Psalm 98:1.
Okay. Very good. And we just do it again and again. And they can do that endlessly. All right. So I think we've just about covered everything. Thank you very much. And God bless you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gail, stay here for a second so I can use the microphone. Typically what happens in the older age classrooms, and I'm speaking like 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, is they'll act like this is too childish. But in reality, I would like to put the challenge out to everyone who would be teaching an older age class to try some of these. You may be very surprised at what their response would be. Again, it's for the purpose of reintroducing the Bible study. When I hear a teacher go, well, we don't do these kind of things, I typically think most likely that class is very boring and teacher-oriented. What I mean is the teacher is doing all the lecturing and the student is doing all the listening. And to a child, that is very, very boring. And I would challenge anyone listening, anyone here, to try just one of these to see what happens in the classroom. Just go out and try one of them once and see the response. And I almost guarantee you that at that point you're going to realize how important it is to be having something like this as a part of the class. It is wonderful, absolutely wonderful for reintroducing the lesson. I couldn't say that enough. And I want to thank both of you for coming. It's been great.